so let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark, let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Hey there, guys and gals, and welcome to the Catchy Lefty podcast. My name is Patrick Engel, and we are starting on our Lenten series this week. And joined with me today is Jonathan Sprang. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we've taken a little break. It seems like Christmas and Epiphany kind of hit all of our tails. So we're trying to get back into the swing of things and get going. I think we finished out pretty well with Epiphany, right?
Yeah.
We just missed Transfiguration Sunday from our podcasts.
Okay, yeah.
Is the only thing that we missed, but we had the love chapter two Sundays ago, and now we're getting into the Lent. Is there anything you want to talk about for Lent right off the bat? Like, how long has your church been doing it?
Yeah, we started meeting weekly once Levi and I got here. 2009 was when we got in our building. So like 2008, we did our first, actually before we even started meeting weekly, it was 2008. We did a series with our small group that was meeting before we went weekly. And we did a series called A History of Man, where we took the Old Testament texts and kind of used them as, like, I think it was the Genesis and Abraham. It was like all these people that were, you know, the leading up to the story of the Old Testament, leading up to Jesus. And we used those as the first Lenten series. So we've been doing it ever since we've been a part of Catalyst. And it's become, you know, once we kind of hit the point where we had a substantial group of people that called Catalyst home, Lent has always been a fun and energizing series, which sounds weird because it's, you know, usually perceived as a downer because you're always looking at yourself and looking how broken you are. But I think John Middendorf always said, you know, like, people are always anxious to talk about how bad they are because they we're really good at seeing how much of a failure we are. The problem then comes is when we see ourselves in light of the resurrection. We can always see ourselves in the shadow of the cross, but it's the rising to new life that makes it that's hard for us as humans. So we've really found it energizing. We actually just finished out our series of Epiphany, looking at who we are, who God's made us to be. Looking in the mirror, we actually had a mirror in our service. And after people took communion, we encouraged them to go to the mirror and write something that they've always been ashamed of, that they're ready to leave. So it was this really cool transition between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday, which is coming up this Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday. That's right.
Yeah, so we had a good bit of people that wrote down their, wrote something on the mirror with a dry erase marker. And we're going to leave it up there for this Wednesday so that they can as they're kind of showing up, they're reflecting on the things that we are before we start our Lent series. How about you guys? What's been the history of your churches?
Yeah. Well, this is my second year here as a pastor at Faith Community. And I just started it. Like, I just jumped into the church year when I first started, just because the church had never done it before. But to me, the church year is just powerful. I mean, journeying through the expectation and the birth and then the epiphany and the wilderness and to the resurrection and Pentecost. I mean, it's just they're good reminders for us as Christians, like what it means, like you said, to see ourselves on one side of the cross and then to understand ourselves in light of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we finished up the Epiphany using our fear and desire themes, and Transfiguration Sunday, I talked a lot about, a lot similar to what it seems like you guys have been saying, is that who are we in light of the transfigured Christ? Are we still acting as if like those disciples healing, trying to heal the demon-possessed boy but can't do it? Or are we going to be transformed and transfigured also? Mm-hmm. So like, and that was how, that was the platform for jumping off into Lent, is in light of the transfigured Christ, we realize our fallen humanity. And so we're going to spend the next 40 days reflecting upon what that means for us, as a community, as people. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that goes perfectly into either of the themes that Catchy Lecty is doing this season. For Lent is system failure or dead weight. I think what you've said, what your church is doing and what my church is doing works perfectly into that, is to reflecting upon what does it mean to be human in light of Jesus, the transfigured Jesus.
Absolutely.
So you want to, since your church is doing the system failure, do you want to just talk about that a little bit more, about that theme?
Yeah. So
how you guys are implementing it.
Absolutely. As we were kind of looking into the actual text, working with the texts, JR and I felt like that dead weight is such a good series title, and we felt like that if we were going to tackle kind of more the systems of sin in our culture and in our world, that maybe another a title that fit more with the system. So we're going to be going after systems, and we felt like each text kind of pointed to a different system in our culture that is broken, and that kind of less about the personal sin confessions, but confessing that our world is broken, confessing that there are systems in our world broken, and then how we, because we are part of these systems, how we, you know, passively participate in these systems, and kind of how we can take a step. You know, each week we're going to be giving people a practical application of, here's how you can live counter to that system. So the first week that we're doing is which we'll be talking about in just a moment. The first week is food. The second week is education. Third week's hospitality. Fourth week is consumerism. Fifth week is, I can't remember all the rest of them, but that's kind of we're basically taking a big system and figuring out how it has failed us and how we're participating in it, but passively, like we're not meaning to, it's just that's just the way that systems are. And then, so how can we take a step to make it better? So that's kind of the
Sweet.
Direction we're taking on these texts.
And then we have another theme that we're, like you said, dead weight is what we're doing, is what some other people in our group are doing. And whereas system failures kind of looks at the larger idea that governs everybody, really, you know, like the larger systems that we operate in every day that determine who we are and how we act in light of the transfigured Christ, you know, how do we respond in those systems? Well, the dead weight theme is looking more at what are the practices in our lives, in our personal lives, that keep us from living into the kingdom. So it's more of like a more micro understanding rather than a macro understanding of these texts. I think that's a good way to define it. So, yeah. I mean, so week one, the dead weight, using the same text, I think the theme out there is talking about selfishness or entitlement. And then week two is resentment. Week three is addictions. Week four is disgrace and clinging to the past. Week five is violence. And then week six, which is Palm Sunday, we're going to be talking about guilt and shame. Yeah. And then like for each of those themes, then there's a way to cut it loose, to cut that identity marker loose, or that practice loose.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's interesting. Every time we approach these Lenten texts, the book that comes to mind is Desiring the Kingdom. We reference it a lot here at Catchy Lecty because it's such a great read, and it has a lot to say about the way that our culture has, you know, and kind of using the same language you used, Patrick, the culture has given us these practices that we're participating in without knowing it. You know, and so what does the church have to say? What are some practices that the church can give us? One of the languages that we're using, like in this series that we'll be using on Ash Wednesday, is that there's like a, there's a pressure that's built up in our world, in the way that we, you know, kind of go throughout the week. There's this pressure that's built up, that builds up and builds up and builds up. And for some, church is a place, has become, religion has become a thing that allows us to like release that pressure because it makes us feel good about ourselves because we did the church thing. But then we just kind of go back into the world, and then the pressure builds up, pressure builds up, pressure builds up. And then we come back and do our religious thing, and it just kind of releases some of that pressure. Whereas what religion should do, what following Jesus should do, is actually give us practices that allow us to break free from that pressure cooker and break free from the system that's controlling us and live into this new system. So that, that kind of analogy works for both personal practices and corporate practices. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that it totally does. And I think that's the whole idea of Lent in general. So even if you just take one of our themes, dead weight or system failure, and don't even follow the text, you could still use that to talk about the whole idea of, I mean, of what the fallen world looks like, and how even religion gets co-opted into that fallen nature, and it just becomes another part of the larger fallen system, whether it be on a personal level or whether it be on a large level, or a cultural level. And so I think it'll be good, and just having the conversations that we have for the next couple of weeks over these podcasts is really going to help, just overall with what Lent is supposed to do for us and what it's meant for, right?
Yeah, that prepares for resurrection, you know?
For resurrection, yeah, and for this, for a redeemed reality, for the real reality is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
So let's jump into Deuteronomy chapter 26, 1 through 11. I'm just going to read it, and then we'll throw down some verbiage over what it means.
Sounds good.
When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. There he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And when the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." And this is Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. So what strikes me in this is that it really does have to do with food. And it has to do with what we do when we gather together with the food that we eat. So like immediately the thoughts that come to my mind is what I have been doing for all of my life is, what do we do when we get together around a table? Even in most American homes, maybe not so much anymore, but perhaps even 15 years ago when people gathered around their tables, what was the one thing that we did? We said grace, right? Or we gave thanks. We gave thanks. And why did we give thanks? Well, I think this is the passage that tells us why we give thanks, to remind us that that what we have is not our own, but it's a, everything is a gift from God. Which for the dead weight, if you're using the dead weight theme and you're talking about selfishness or entitlement, man, the reason why so many people are entitled or selfish and selfish is because we fail to recognize just the blessings that we have. I mean, we've even commandeered the hashtag blessing, and we use it for things like, "I found a parking spot close to the mall, hashtag blessed." you know, like that type of stuff. And it's like, are you, do you really think that you're blessed because of that? Or, I mean, maybe you're blessed because you've been living in a country that has 200 years of history of becoming a world power. And I mean, and all the benefits that we have of being able to turn on a tap and getting that water, fresh water. I mean, and all the stuff that comes out of it, right? Like, we just have failed to recognize where all of this comes from, and that, like, even those of us who may not be the richest in our nation have still been given, man, just like, I could dare say, dozens of blessings that we take for granted every day, if not hundreds of blessings.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things too, like, acknowledging that, it's God that's got us here. It's God that gives us the food. It's God that gives us these, the things that we eat. And honoring that, and honoring the fact that, this is a gift from God. And, you know, some of the ways that, we see the food industry, kind of going at the system failure idea, you know, that, we've turned this food and this harvest and this thing that the land is going to provide food for you. Because, you know, you think about it, that this is on the heels of the wandering in the desert, where God was providing food every day through pheasants and through, you know, manna, right?
Yeah. So God, water from rocks.
Water from, yeah. I mean, this is like miraculously, like, God is providing food for them every single day. And now what God is saying is, okay, now that you're going into the land that I gave you, this is now your chance to participate in this blessing, that now you're going to, by the sweat of your back, be harvesting and be growing and raising these, the animals that you eat and all this stuff. Like, you're going to be doing this now, you're going to be participating in this, but it still doesn't take away the fact I gave you this land and I gave you this opportunity. Right. So it's still from him, but he's inviting us to participate in that. And so there's a sense where we could then turn that around and say, okay, now by my own hand, like in other places in Deuteronomy, he says, whenever you go into the land, don't ever say that by our own strength we got this land. It has always been a gift. So in the same way that we could say we could use the land for benefiting the world, we could use the land to raise food to benefit the foreigners among us, right? We could use this as a chance to celebrate that God has provided for all of us, or we could use the land and the food as a way of holding on to things for ourselves, or making a name for ourselves, or just by feeding our own pocket. So you can see that in the sense that the food industry in America has become so such a way of making money that we've lost sight of, like, food has now just become a way of making money. It's just become another business, another thing, like anything else that people can manipulate and can kind of, what's the best way, what's the fastest way, what's the easiest way for us to make the most money, as opposed to saying, okay, what's the best way I can honor this food and this thing that is a blessing? How can I take better care of it? How can I, you know? So there's tons and tons of documentaries out there that talk about the processes that are, that the big systems of the food industry go through. And I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, you know, the amount of abuse that happens to some of these animals and some of these systems. And so, you know, one of the things we're going to be showing is we've got a guy that used to be he's still part of our church, but they just moved out because he, a little further away, because they invested in a land so that they could raise food, raise meat for sale. And so they've got chickens and pigs right now. They're eventually going to get cows and other things. But he talks a lot in a video that we're going to show. He talks about, you know, kind of how the system works, but how it should work, and how, in the sense of making sure you know where your food came from. And, you know, he said, like, in one way, he said, this is the best way to be thankful for your food is when you actually know where it came from. Maybe you even know the farmer. You know, you know how it was raised, you know, where, you know, the heart and the thought and the care that went into raising this animal, as opposed to just buying it from something that seems cheap, and that was raised on, you know, in a place, in a factory, you know. So that's some of the ways that we're talking about it here at Catalyst, you know, in the system idea.
I think that works, and not to detract from what you're saying, but like, I immediately thought of, have you ever watched the TV series Portlandia?
I haven't, but I know of it for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Have you, the very first episode, I think it's like the guy and the girl are sitting down and they're like, Can you tell us more about your chick about this chicken that you have? And like, they go into like, what's the chicken's name? Does the chicken have any friends? And then they're like, we'll be right back. And they like go and visit the farm where the chicken was raised. Mm-hmm. And like kind of taking it to an extreme. But I mean, I think the reality is there is because we get so caught up in, having to eat, that like, you know, how many people, like fast food industries are ridiculous. Like we're mm-hmm. all the places where they're at, especially in the Bible Belt, like Texas and Oklahoma. And we fail to even gather around the tables. I mean, I've heard this, mm-hmm. I think all of my life, you know, like how family systems fail to gather around tables now. Like, but like, it's supposed to be a sacred time for us. Mm-hmm. And by gathering around the table and by putting the effort into making food, it is an act of giving thanks. It is an act of reminding ourselves that, that we're not entitled fully to what we've been given. And so like, there's a call to become stewards of that and to kind of break the system that we find ourselves in. I mean, here in Deuteronomy, I mean, and this is the theme, like, this is just another way to articulate the theme of the Shema of Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, where Yahweh is talking through Moses. And he's like, when you come into the land that you did not process, when you drink from the wells that you did not dig, when you live in the homes that you did not build, remember where you came from. Remember mm-hmm. that one time you were a stranger in a land, that you were slaves. I mean, and that's what this is like, what this whole chapter is saying. It's like the liturgy that is present in this, I mean, and this is a very liturgical spiritual practice in Deuteronomy chapter 26, is when the priest takes the basket from you and sets it before the altar, you shall respond to the Lord. So you shall pray, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor who went down into Egypt and was few in number. I mean, it's humbling. It's mm-hmm. it's a prayer of thanksgiving that reminds us this is not our own, and that there are other people who don't have this luxury. And so as a Christian, what is my response going to be? Am I going to say, well, this is mine, I've earned it, I don't really care about anybody else, they don't deserve what I've earned, which would be a very American response? Or would it be, let us figure out how to become stewards once again of the land that we've been given? Yeah. Let us remember to give thanks on a regular basis. I mean, that's why we tithe, at least in my church. I articulate that every Sunday. I'm like, the reason why you tithe is not because we need your money and not because God needs your money, but it's because you need to remember that what you have and who you are is not yours.
Absolutely.
and so that's why we do what we do and all of that stuff.
And I think there's something, you know, interesting too about how throughout Deuteronomy, it is about remembering. It is about recalling what God is, what it took to get God here, to get God's people to the land, right? That it wasn't an easy task. And I think that's part of how we are articulating that, like, knowing where your food came from is important, because then you can be more thankful. One of the guys on our teaching team talked about forgetting as like a spiritual hunger or even a spiritual starvation, that when we forget what God has done in the past, we forget how God has blessed us or God has given all these gifts to us, then we can become like in dead weight. We can become selfish and feel an entitlement, like, I deserve all this. That then starves our spirit, because we're forgetting how much God has done to bless us. So that's why the task of remembering, also first fruits, that idea of it's a chance for us to, in our giving of our tithes, in our prayer, our before our meal, these simple practices are ways that we remember that God is the one who has given this to us, and God is the one that we serve, and God is the one who's loved us so much that he gave his son, you know, all those types of things. So,
right. Good stuff, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, thanks for chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let our listeners know where they can find you, Jonathan.
Yeah, you can check out all of our sermons at Catalyst at catrow.org. You can listen to all the messages there, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter or Facebook, just at I Am Spring. And I'd love to chat with you there.
Nice. And for the church that I'm a part of, you can find us at faithcommunitynaz.church. And you can contact with me at Patrick Glenn on Facebook or Twitter. Honestly, we say this every time, but we really want to hear from you. If you'd like to be a part of our discussions, either for the podcast or for our Thursday meetings where we kind of talk through our sermons together before the Sunday that we preach it or the weekend that we preach it, just let us know, reach out to one of us, and we will find a way to get you connected.
You can also check us out at catchylefty.com. You can see all past sermon series and things like that. If dead weight and system failure don't work for you, we have tons and tons of years of sermon series on there. So feel free to check that out. And you can also contact us on facebook.com/catchylefty. Yeah.
Perfect. Hey, thanks, Jonathan. And thank you guys for listening. Grace and peace to you.